Hello and welcome to Tailored to Perfection. This week we have another grammar special where we give you grammar explanations and examples and hopefully entertaining conversation. My name's Dave, I'm a teacher and manager here at Taylor School in Oviedo in Spain, and I'm sitting here with Karen. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good, okay, so let's get started. Drum roll, please. Okay, today we're talking about passives and causatives. Passives and causatives. Okay, so that sounds a little bit complicated, but actually it's very, very easy. Okay, so passives. Let's start with passives. So a passive is something like, this book was written by John Smith. Okay, this book was written by John Smith. So it's where you don't have the thing or the person who did the action at the beginning of the sentence. So the subject doesn't go at the beginning of the sentence. The bird was killed. Yeah, so the bird was the thing that was killed. That's the object of the sentence. Okay, and then you've got the verb to be, was or were. That's in the past, or it can be in the present. Yeah, or it can be in any tense. Was and then killed. The past participle. The bird was killed. If you want to say who did it, you could say the bird was killed by a hunter. So it's just a different way to structure sentences, and it changes the emphasis on a sentence. So you can say who did the action by adding the word by. Yeah, this book was written by John Smith. That adds emphasis to the person who did the action. Okay, so you could say John Smith wrote the book. Or you could say the book was written by John Smith. It means the same thing, but it adds more importance to the person who did the action. If for example, your house was robbed, yeah, you get home and you find that your TV is missing from the house and your door is broken, you might say, the house was broken into. You don't know who did it, but obviously it was a robber or a criminal or something like that. So you don't have to say who did the thing. So it's a way of, if it's obvious who did it, if you don't know who did it, then you just don't say by after the sentence. So you can just say, the house was broken into. Yeah, or my TV was stolen. Yeah, obviously, you could say my TV was stolen by a thief. Yeah, by a robber. My house was broken into by a robber or by a group of robbers. Yeah, or you could say the bird was killed. The bird was killed by the hunter. Okay. Anyway, we use passives a lot when we are doing academic writing. For example, scientists and people who are doing experiments, when you're writing about the experiment, you don't want to say, I did this test, I spoke to this group of people, I tested this thing. You don't use I so much when you're doing academic writing and things. So you use the passive a lot. So for example, this was tested. Yeah, so it's obvious who did it. You did it, or somebody on your team did it, or a scientist did it, or a researcher did it. You don't have to keep saying who did the action. Yeah, you might say it once or twice, but you don't have to keep saying that you did it or somebody on your team did it. So you use the passive there to omit the subject, to not include the subject of the sentence. You also might use it in newspaper articles when it's obvious who did something. Again, like the police, for example, you might say such and such a politician. This politician was arrested today. So if somebody was arrested, who arrests people? Only the police arrest people. So you don't have to say, the police arrested this person. because it's obvious that the police arrested them. So you can say, this person was arrested this morning. Things like that. Things where it's really obvious who does an action. So, Karen, are you ready for today's quiz?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll take that as a yes.
It's a Sunday. It's a Monday morning, so yeah, it could be interesting.
Yeah, we're recording this on a Monday morning, but you have had your
my coffee.
So I've got a quiz, and all the answers can be in the passive. Okay, so it's a quiz. You can try and answer the questions as you're listening as well, and all the answers will be in the passive. So, for example, the first question is, what do Jonah and Pinocchio have in common? Pinocchio was a little wooden boy. A wooden toy,
yeah,
that
puppet.
Changed into a boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they have in common? Jonah and Pinocchio. Something to do with an aquatic animal. No?
Wait, let me think.
All these questions, by the way, are from a website called lessonstream.org.
I have no idea what an aquatic animal is going to do.
They were both eaten by a
whale.
A whale, that's
really?
Right. Yeah, they were both eaten
Pinocchio
by a whale.
Pinocchio was eaten by a whale.
Yeah, I didn't remember that bit of the story, but apparently...
Jonah, yes.
If it says it on lessonstream.org, then it's definitely true.
Must be, yeah. Interesting.
Okay, the next one. This one is should be easy for you, hopefully. What happened to Nelson Mandela on the 11th of February, 1990?
He was released from prison.
Exactly, yeah. He was released from prison, the passive. Obviously, you could say... The authorities
released him from prison.
That would be the active. Yeah, so the passive is he was released from prison. That's perfect. Good. Well done. Karen is from South Africa. So yeah. That's why.
Viva Mandela.
Good. Okay, next question. What is tapophobia?
A phobia of taps.
No. Tapophobia. So, or it's taphophobia, maybe. It's got a PH. Taphophobia or tapophobia. So, this is something to do with... like, when you... She's trying to look at the answers here. This is something... Related to if people think that you're dead, but you're not really dead.
Oh,
The fear of
confined spaces?
Specific confined spaces.
Confined spaces underground?
Yeah, exactly. So it's the fear of being...
Buried.
Buried.
Okay. Alive.
Alive, yeah. The fear of being buried
alive.
Alive, yeah. The fear of... Being buried alive. So here we've got being is with ing because it's after the preposition of. Fear of being buried alive. Okay, good.
Okay.
Next question. What happened to Lee Harvey Oswald while he was being transferred from the police headquarters to the county jail?
He was shot.
Very good. Well done. Okay. What happened to Charlie Chaplin's body on March the 1st, 1978? It's a difficult one.
His body?
Yeah.
He was buried?
No. Yeah, well, I don't know where he was. He was dug up, and what happened to it? He was dug up, yeah, passive.
Yeah, he was dug up. And cremated?
Cremated, yeah, like burnt. Yeah. No.
No, I don't know.
It was stolen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his body was stolen. Yeah. And the thieves tried to get money out of the family.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's awful.
And that's all. Well done.
I don't know about
That's
well done.
That's the end of the quiz.
It was difficult.
This section's about causatives. Okay, so the last one was about passives, how we use the verb to be and the past participle. Now we're talking about causatives. This is where verbs cause something to happen. They combine together. So, for example, to have something done. Yeah, so this is a typical causative that we use quite a lot when people do things for you. Yeah, like some sort of service. For example, I'm having my hair cut. Okay, having my hair cut. Ah, we've got a game here and we have to think of examples of this. Okay, to have or get something done. So okay. you can use have or get. You can say, I'm going to get my hair cut or I'm going to have my hair cut. Okay, you can use either have or get and it's the same meaning. So we're going to try to think of as many examples of this as we can. So the first one, to have your hair cut. Karen, can you think of another one?
I'm getting my car fixed.
I'm getting my car fixed. That's right. Yeah, I'm getting my car fixed. What about I'm having my ingrowing toenail removed? An ingrowing toenail, you know, on your toe. That's like the fingers on your feet. On your toe, you've got nails and sometimes they grow. Well, not with me, but sometimes they grow like into the skin or something. And you have to go to a special chiropodist or something. And they remove your ingrowing toenail. So I'm having my ingrowing toenail removed.
I'm having my dress mended.
I'm having my dress mended. Yeah, like fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm having my dog shampooed.
Yeah.
I'm having my dog shampooed.
I'm getting my grass cut in my garden.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the gardener's going to do it. You're getting it done.
Yeah.
Good. That's enough. I think you get the idea, don't you? I think listeners. Yeah. Good. Okay. So let's move on to the next one. Get someone to do something can also mean to persuade. To persuade is when you want somebody to do something and they're not really interested in doing that thing. And you talk to them to try to get them to do that thing. So, for example, I can't get my friend to come with me to the party. Yeah, I can't get them to come with me to the party. I can't persuade them or convince them to come with me to the party. Okay? Have you ever tried to persuade someone to do something, Karen?
Yes, I always try and get my friends to come back to South Africa with me.
Uh-huh.
But no one's taking me up on the offer yet.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Your friends from the
from
UK,
all over the
from
world.
Spain,
yeah. I've had two people go to my home and stay with my parents, but I wasn't there. But yeah, because we live in a national park, it's a really nice holiday for someone.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't
great.
Seem to get anybody to go there.
I want to go.
Yeah, you're more than welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll talk about dates after the program. Good. Next one. So that's to get someone to do something. Now we're going to talk about to let people or to let someone do something. That's to allow somebody to do something. So there's a classic line from history, which is what Marie Antoinette said, I think it was, who was like the Queen of France, maybe. And she said, everybody was very, very hungry and there was no bread. And her assistant said, m'lady, there's no bread for the peasants to eat, for the poor people to eat. And she said, let them eat cake. Let them eat cake. So it's allow them to eat cake. Let them eat cake. So this, you can see you've got let, which is a verb, and eat, which is a verb. Let them eat cake. And that showed, that was the beginning of the French Revolution, I think. Or that's how the story goes, at least. Because it shows that she didn't understand poor people, the problems that poor people had at all. So she thought they could just eat cake instead of bread. So, and then you could say, let's dance, like that David Bowie song. Let's dance. Yeah, do you know that one? Shall I sing the whole thing?
No.
Let's dance. So that's let us dance. So that's more, it's an expression, but it's the same. It's the same thing. It's, if you say let's do something, it means come on, let's do this thing. I'd like to do this thing. Let's do it together. We should do it together. Let's dance. Okay. Another one. So that's let. Another one is to make people do something. That's to force people to do something. So if there's somebody that doesn't want to do something, if you make them do it, for example, I made my son do his homework. For example, he didn't want to do it, but I forced him to do his homework. Okay. There's an expression here that you can say, a saying, which is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Yeah, so there you've got make it drink. You can't force it to drink.
It's very true.
Yeah, is it true? Yeah, you're the horse expert, Karen.
Yeah, you can. Often you take them to the water trough after a long ride or something, and sometimes they don't want to drink.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do. You can't like push its head underwater. Yeah.
But also, of course, it's an expression that means you can't force people to do things that they don't want to do. Yeah. Good. So, Karen, if you were the supreme leader of the world, what would you let people do? What would you allow people to do? What would you let people do?
I would let everybody have Sundays free, so no one would have to work.
No one would work on a Sunday.
No.
Like bus drivers, drivers.
The whole country would come to a standstill.
All shops, cinemas.
Obviously, if they wanted to, they could work, but it would be, but let.
You'd let them work. It's difficult, though.
Yeah,
if you say, you can if you want, then maybe it's easier just to...
To say...
It's a dictatorship.
Exactly.
It's your dictatorship.
Okay, you're
Karen,
not working on a Sunday then.
Okay, that's good for me. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
What would you do?
I can't really think about things that I'd let people do that they don't really do at the moment, in the West at least. Maybe I'd let everybody have a decent education.
Yeah,
maybe.
That would be good.
Yeah.
For free.
For free, yeah. He says, sitting in a private language school. Okay, and what would you make people do?
I would make people recycle, so I'd make it compulsory. And if you didn't recycle, you would get a hefty fine.
A hefty fine, a big fine, yeah? You'd get a penalty, an economic sanction.
Yeah.
A fine. Mm-hmm. Good.
What
Anything
would
else?
You, what would you make people do?
I'd make people drive better. I'd have like a campaign that said, like, if you drive like an idiot, then you get your car taken away and given to poor people, or something like that. Just driving like an idiot, where people drive too close to you, or people are like in a rush.
Yeah,
I really hate
fast.
It when people are in a rush. On a Sunday afternoon or something like that.
Exactly.
And they're driving like, oh, I'm in such a rush. It's Sunday afternoon. Why are you in such a rush?
Yeah, I saw that. We were coming back in the bus from the mountains the other day. And a guy overtook. And there was no way he could have seen what was coming around the corner.
Ooh.
And there was no reason to. Because the road was empty. So he could have waited till they went past. You know, we went around the corner. But it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay, so drive better. So in my dictatorship, that guy would have no car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd make people listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like, maybe for people who are no good at listening, I'd like send them to a course.
Yeah.
Like a 1-month intensive course on how to listen.
How would you monitor them?
Like, just talk to people and talk to people if they don't listen to me. And send them away to a re-education camp. Okay. So any more? Anything else, Karen?
Yeah, I'd probably I just think people nowadays don't have enough free time. So I would let people have the choice whether they wanted to start work earlier or later so that they could have more time with their family in the afternoon or in the morning.
Yeah. Let people be more flexible with their timetables and things. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah. And maybe let mothers have more time off.
Maternity leave,
yeah, to take care of children and things like that.
Yeah.
Good. Any more?
No, I can't think of any more.
Okay, so the last one that we've got, we've nearly finished now. So that was to make people do things and to let people do things. Now we're talking about to help people do things. So this is the same thing where you've got the verb help and it combines with another verb. So he helped me move house, for example. Yeah. Karen, can you tell us about a time when you helped people do something or when people helped you do something?
So when people helped me, my friend helped me. She helped me move and she helped me go to the train station and get to the airport when I left England. And when I help people was when I was teaching English in Galapagos. I did it for free. I wasn't paid. And I helped them improve their English for tourism.
Yeah. Okay, so you volunteered. How long did you volunteer for?
2 months.
2 months. And do you think it helped?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Especially because the whole workforce in Galapagos is based around tourism and that. So it's quite important that they speak English fairly well.
What's the first language in Galapagos?
Spanish.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's part of Ecuador.
Right. But where is Galapagos?
it's right opposite.
In the Pacific?
Yeah.
Like right in the middle of the Pacific?
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's 1,000 kilometers off the Ecuadorian coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Ah, yeah. So it's nearer
it's,
Ecuador
it's
than anywhere
than
else.
It's closer to Ecuador than any
right.
other...
Right, cool. Yeah, oh, for me, some time that I was helped was, it's been lots of times, but I remember especially when we started this school nearly 7 years ago now, basically it was a rush to get everything done. So the builders were going to put the walls in and they said, oh, it will take 3 weeks to do that. And it took 2 months and we had to open for the beginning of the course for the end of September. So, we went and bought lots of furniture. We needed to put all this furniture together in a hurry.
Oh my gosh.
So I called, we sent a message to our friends.
Yeah.
And a big group of friends came over, like 10 friends. You can see some photos on the Facebook,
fantastic.
Of like all our friends over here with everything half painted and half done, like the weekend before we opened. And everybody was putting together the chairs and the tables and the desks and things like that, and they really helped us so much. And another one, another friend is an interior designer, and she helped us to design the for free. She told us what colors to use and what furniture to use and things like that. So we got a lot of help from friends, and the only payment that we gave to our friends that came and helped us as we went for lunch at a friend's house, but we bought Chinese food for everybody.
Oh, okay.
And that was all. And they spent their Saturday or Sunday or something.
Oh, that's fantastic.
In here, putting together tables and things. So I'll be eternally grateful. Ah, and also Danny Boal, which is another friend, we were flyering. We were putting little advertising in people's letterboxes, and he just came and he said, oh, I'll do that. And he came and he, for like 2 or 3 hours one morning, he came and he went around all La Florida, this area, and he put letters in people's letterboxes for free. So thank you to all those guys. Thank you very much. And what about when people have helped you? Oh, no, you said when you moved.
Yeah. When I moved house, and also when I used to run a riding school, the kids used to be really great because they would come on the weekends and help me with the horses and that.
Ah, right. Okay.
And then in return, I would give them a free ride.
Right.
But the kids were really helpful. They would do like little jobs for me and around the stable yard and stuff.
Right. Yeah. So you managed the stable.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about a time when I've helped people do things. Maybe just as a teacher, sometimes people need their CVs checking or they need to practice for interviews. And sometimes, I mean, obviously we charge money for the classes, but or like for checking one of our students' LinkedIn
account
to see if it's, if the English is good and to check things like that, then we don't obviously charge. Yeah. And that really helps people to.
Yeah. I think as a teacher, you're always doing a little bit more than what you get paid for, like helping little extra bits like that is all helping.
Yeah, it's part of the job. And if you, I mean, the idea is to help people to get a decent job or to help people pass an exam or to help people communicate better in English, and anything that we can do to help that, like doing a podcast.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. You don't get paid for that.
No, no, we don't. No. Okay, not yet, at least. Maybe in a few years when we have thousands and thousands of listens, and then we'll get paid lots and lots of money for doing this. But right now, it's nothing. Anyway, thank you very much, Karen, for coming in. I'm just going to say that if you want English classes, if you're here in Asturias, you can come here to the school. We have classes for children from 3 years old all the way up to adults, and we have lots of different levels. We specialize in the Cambridge exam, so you can study for the first certificate or the advanced level exam with us. The teachers have been teaching first certificate and advanced for a long time, so they know exactly what they're doing. Also, you can have Skype classes with us. We can go to your business and we can teach in your business. We're a organizing center for the Fundación Tripartita, which helps businesses pay for classes like ours. And you can listen to all the previous podcasts that you'll find wherever you're listening to this podcast. But you can also find Taylor's Business English Podcast, which is a parallel podcast. It's the same thing, presented by me as well. And we talk about different business situations. So you can find that in the same place that you found this. Or you can go to taylorschool.es/businesspodcasts. So you can contact us on info@taylorschool.es. That's info@taylorschool.es. Or you can call us on Spain, 0034-984-202-191. And you can find us at Facebook. It's facebook.com/taylor.school. facebook.com/taylor.school. And we're now on Instagram. You can find us, I think it's Taylor School Ovi. Taylor School Oviedo. Well, type in Taylor School into Instagram and you'll probably find us there. Okay, that's all. So from Karen and from me, goodbye.
Goodbye.